is, besides National Day of Prayer, that's right, also May 1st, May Day. All right, we're going to get a preview. All right, here we are, continuing our study of meditation. Now, we are going to start off with a few minutes of review as we talk about biblical meditation. All right, first, what is biblical meditation? How would you define it? And if you don't have an outline, we have some up here. Make sure you get one. Everybody got one? Okay. All right. What is biblical meditation? Somebody chime in. All right, the act of pondering, thinking, musing, remembering. Okay, now that is meditation, but now biblical meditation. All right, to focus with oneness of mind and spirit. To ponder, to muse. Remember, the Hebrew word means to mutter. It's kind of to talk to oneself, converse with oneself. Regurgitate is used of a cow chewing its cud, bringing it back up. Ruminating, not regurgitate, but ruminate. Excuse me, wrong word. Ruminate. Strike that off if you're listening over the internet. That's right. Ruminate, not regurgitate. All right. Bring it up, chew on a little bit, bring it back down, let it sit, bring it back up. Think about it, muse it, let it turn over in your mind. Okay, second question, what's the difference between biblical meditation and TM or transcendental meditation? All right, Lauren? Okay. Okay, good. She said, transcendental meditation is object is to empty yourself of all thoughts, create a vacuum so that you might in some way become at one with the cosmic mind or with the universe by just emptying yourself. Biblical meditation, to the contrary, is all about filling ourselves with God's word, God's truth. Paul, did you have something you want to add?
When you talked about emptying of that, there's a controversial commercial from Zaxby's, which talks about transcendental meditation with that salad. And they say, oh, and yes, and this girl screams and says, oh, this is what I wanted. And it pertains to a salad.
Yes, you by either chanting of a mantra or something else, you kind of supposedly that's the way you empty your mind, get in the lotus position, other yoga positions are supposed to help. Again, you align yourself, body alignment. But we know as Christians that is not of God. The danger, Joe, is when you open up your mind for any and everything, who's going to come in?
Satan.
Say it again, Joe.
Satan. All right, Satan's going to come in. That's for the radio folks. Satan will come in, and he'll take over, and he'll give you his thoughts. And so only thing we want to empty ourselves of is the things of this world that would distract us. But when we remove those things, we want, and the way we do remove it is by filling our mind with God's thoughts. We're not trying to empty our mind of all thoughts. We just want to push out the world's thoughts by filling our mind with God's thoughts, God's truth, which is, of course, found in His Word. All right, what is the goal of biblical meditation? Excuse me. What's the goal of biblical meditation? What are we wanting to do, Minnie? All right, that is so true, Minnie. I could not have said it better myself, Minnie. She's in rare form. We're going tonight, Joe. We're going good. That's it. That's right. Okay, here we got it. Minnie was right on target. The goal of Christian meditation is to internalize and personalize the Scripture with the purpose so that its truth can affect how we think, our attitudes, and how we live. All right, let's kind of just take that definition apart. Biblical meditation first is to internalize. Now, we have biblical knowledge in our head. These are things that we've heard about, that we've learned, but just because it's in your head does not mean that it has been internalized into your life. We have a great deal of head knowledge, but that knowledge has got to get from your head into, you might say, your heart, or you might say your inner being. Okay? Again, it's the difference between knowing something and really believing something. It's a difference between knowing some facts and truly believing those facts to the extent that you live based on those truths. You know, there are many people who know about Jesus. They have a head knowledge of Jesus, but they've never internalized and they don't have that dynamic, personal love relationship with Jesus. You see, it's only up here in the head. Now, it has to start there. But it shouldn't stay there. It's got to move on down. It's got to get into our lives. If the difference between you knowing a promise of God, that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ, and you really believing that to the point when you have a legitimate need, you can have peace knowing that God is going to supply. Yeah. One is only head knowledge. That didn't give you peace. That just tells you, well, God's going to supply, but I'm still anxious, I'm upset, I don't know how he's going to do it, I don't know when he's going to do it, I'm still worried. The other one says, I know it, and I know it so deeply that I am not going to worry, I'm not going to fret. How he does it's his business. When he does it is his business. I'm just going to trust him because I really believe it. That is to internalize God's word. And the way in my life I have found to move the word from your head into your internal being, into your heart, is meditation. It is almost uncanny the way meditating on God's truth, on God's word, gets it down into your being. It internalizes it. I found that to be the case in my own life. So first, Christian meditation is the goal is to internalize the truth, but also to personalize the Scripture. You don't only want to get it into your innermost being, but you want to personalize it in that you apply it to your life. You don't want to just know promises of God for the sake of knowing them. But you want to apply them to your life. You want to personalize it. This is what God is saying to me. This scripture is mine. This promise is mine to claim in God's word. I will personalize it. I will apply it to my life. Okay? Meditation, and as we're going to see in weeks ahead, one of the aspects, one of the things you do in your meditation on God's word is you will apply that truth to your life. You'll say, now, how does this truth apply to my life? What's God saying to me in this truth? What does this truth require of me? What does this truth expect of me? What should I do now that I have this truth internalized? That's personalizing it. Okay? So the goal of Christian meditation is to internalize and personalize the Scripture so that its truth can affect how you think. Again, when you internalize and personalize God's word, you are replacing your thoughts with His thoughts. And it begins to affect how you think. Not only that, but your attitudes change, because God's word is making its home in you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, abide means to remain. It means to make your home. You don't abide here at church. You visit here at church. You abide at whatever your address is. Problem with too many Christians is we visit in God's word. We don't abide in God's word. And His word does not abide in us. To abide in God's word is to internalize and to personalize God's word. And that comes about through meditation on God's word. If you abide in me and I abide in you, so our attitudes are changed. And not only that, but it affects how we live. It affects our actions. Because we do what we truly believe. What you believe is not what you say you believe, but how you act. That's what you truly believe. We act on the beliefs that we have. And so you can look at your life and tell what you truly believe by how you act. Right? So, our meditation on God's word, when we internalize it and personalize it, it will affect our thoughts, it will affect our attitudes, and it will affect our life. We will live differently because God's word is abiding in us. All right? So that is the goal of Christian meditation. All right, now let's look at the objectives of meditation. What do we desire to accomplish in our meditation? First, worship. Meditation is designed to bring us into focusing on God and His works through His word. Okay. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Now, when I read something like this in the Old Testament, I think, okay, now the house of the Lord in the Old Testament, the temple in the Old Testament, was where God resided with the nation of Israel. Remember? In that Holy of Holies, that Shekinah glory. But in the New Covenant, we know God no longer resides in the temple in Jerusalem, but where? In us. We are the temple of God. So when I read this verse and apply it to my New Testament situation, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, I interpret that to mean that I might dwell in His presence, that I might be aware of His presence in me and my presence with Him. Okay? That I would behold His beauty and meditate in His temple, in His presence. Okay? So that's what worship is. Worship is when you pull away from the distractions of this world and you focus on God. You focus on Him. You focus on His attributes. You focus on His works. You focus on His word. You seek to behold His beauty, His loveliness. And that leads to worship, to give Him the worth that is due His holy name. And when we stop and take the time to ponder, to muse, to remember the truth of God, the person of God, this causes our hearts to worship because we see His great worth. We see His great beauty. But that beauty of the Lord, that level of worship is reserved for those who are willing to meditate on Him, to spend time thinking and reflecting on Him. So, first objective of meditation is worship. Second is instruction. Psalm 119 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. Right, here, meditation is linked with insight and understanding. As we meditate on God and His Word, we apply it to our lives and it instructs us. It gives us understanding. He said that His insights were greater than His teachers because He spent time in meditation on God's Word, in pondering and musing and reflecting on God and His Word. And therefore, he had more understanding than the aged. He understood life. He understood what was expected and required of him in life. He understood what God would have him to do in life because he spent time pondering, meditating, musing on God and His Word. So, first objective, worship. Second, instruction. Because we exchange our thoughts with God's thoughts, and we are instructed. Third objective, motivation or encouragement. Meditation is designed to motivate and inspire us in our service and our courage to serve the Lord. Joshua, preparing to go into the promised land. Moses had died. Joshua was thrust into the leadership position. He was given this awesome responsibility to lead God's people into a foreign land, to do battle with seasoned enemy soldiers. Israeli people were not soldiers. They were not fighters by nature. And so Joshua was afraid. He was scared. And so God said to him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." So as he meditated on God's Word, that would enable him and encourage him and motivate him to do all that was written in that Word. And in so doing, God would prosper his way and he would have God's success. And so as we meditate on God's Word, the Spirit uses that to bring encouragement to us. Paul talks about in Romans the encouragement of the Scriptures, the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures. He says over in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things in past have been written for our encouragement. And so the Word of God is a source of encouragement that the Spirit of God will use in your life. And so as you spend time meditating, pondering, thinking, musing on God and His Word, the Spirit will use that to motivate you and encourage you in your Christian responsibilities. A fourth objective of meditation is transformation. As we said, meditation is designed to transform and change our lives because it transforms our mind. Our thinking is transformed, therefore our living becomes transformed. Paul said in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing," and remember that word is renovating, "of your mind, so that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so as we meditate on God's word, as his thoughts replace our thoughts, as our mind is renovated, as our mind is in the opinions and thoughts and values of our mind are exchanged for the thoughts and values and opinions of God's mind, our mind's being renewed and our lives are being transformed into his image, the image of Christ. And so transformation is a very important objective of meditation. All right, so what have we seen? We've seen meditation, the object is to lead us into worship, instruction, motivation or encouragement, transformation. All right. Any questions about your outline? Did you get everything you need to get? Okay. I'm going to stop a little early tonight because for those of us that will not be able to be here tomorrow at the 12 o'clock National Day of Prayer service, because I think, Joe, you're working and you won't be able to be here, will you? I wanted Paul to come and share with us what he's going to be sharing with them. And then we can have a season of prayer for our nation. We'll get a head start. If you go far enough east, we could be until tomorrow. We just we have to go about 5 hours. So I guess if we're over in England, we would almost be tomorrow. Okay. But anyway, Paul, you come in and share with us.